Good morning, church. You know, you are the church, remember? Whether two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 12. Verses 12 through 14. And as you are turning, I count it a joy and a blessing to be here with you. You know, my heart is here with you. I want you to know that. I brag on you guys a lot, whether you realize it or not. You know, if God calls me home anytime, I can never feel I was a failure, because God used me in a little part here. And what is so great about this church? I'll try to say this without choking up here a little bit. Whenever we come to back and see this church, my wife and I feel like we're proud parents. When God basically said it was time for me to move, I really didn't want to, because we wanted to stay here. But at that time, we asked for two things. Number one, that God would provide a job and a home. And at that time, there was no jobs here. And God didn't open up a home. Matter of fact, he opened up a home in St. John's. Little did we know that there was a reason for that, because I had to have a heart transplant. So I had to be close to the hospital. But it was devastating for me. I really did not want to leave here. But when we felt like our work was over, God impressed it upon me and Diane that when we left, that this church would not fold. Because just as what Brother John said about Brother Mingy, we didn't want that to happen here. So we did everything we could to build this church on a good foundation. Because I said, if we did our job right, that it wasn't people were looking at me or looking at Diane or at Billy, that they were looking at God, that this church would last. And you know what? You're celebrating 31 years. And guess what? We're still proud daddy and mamas. Aren't we, dear? You guys have been such a blessing. And we thank you for that. And we most of all thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand, if you would, as I read the scripture. Follow along as I read it. This is Paul, and he's coming to the close of his ministry. And he says in verse 12, "Not that I have already attained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ." Let's pray together. Precious Father, first of all, we come to you in humble adoration, thanking you, Father, for what you have done here, and what you will do here, and what you're going to do here, because I believe you're not done here. And you're not done with any of us either until you call us home. You still have a purpose. You still have a plan. And Lord God, you're not done with us. And I thank you, Father, for that. Now, Father, I pray that you will just speak to our hearts in a very sweet, wonderful way this morning. That when we leave this place this morning, we can say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. That we had a close encounter with God. Now, Father, I pray that you'll speak through me your words. And you will challenge each and one of us here. And if there is one here that does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day of their salvation. And Lord, if there's one here that's cold and indifferent, Lord God, I pray that just as David prayed and he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation, that you will do the same here. Now, Lord God, my prayer, keep your hand upon this church. May it continue to be all that you want it to be. And you'll continue to bless each and every one that's here today. For your glory and for your honor. And all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated. As I was studying for this message, I ran across a little interesting story. I kind of chuckled at this, so bear with me. A man was reading his newspaper early one morning at his breakfast table, like many of you do. And his wife came over and smiled and said, I bet you don't know what today is, do you? And he looked at her and says, of course I know what day it is. And went back to reading his newspaper. Boy, it sounds like many of us, don't? But guess what? He didn't have a clue. Guys sound like us, don't we? Okay. He thought to himself later, is it her birthday? That must be it. So after he got to work, he called the florist and had a bouquet of white roses sent to his wife. Then, as the day went on, he began worrying that flowers may not be enough for such an important day. What if it's our anniversary? Maybe that's what I messed up on. So he went to the jeweler's store and he picked out a beautiful gold necklace and had it specially delivered to his wife. Hint, hint. And as he started home from work, he decided that maybe he should also stop and buy an expensive box of chocolates. He pulls into the driveway and his wife runs out to greet him. And he gets out of the car and he presents her with this big box of chocolates. She throws her arms around him and says, oh, honey, this is the best Groundhog's Day I've ever had. As you know, this is a very special day, Cadet Baptist Church. And guess what? It's not Groundhog's Day. And if you haven't figured it out yet, today we are celebrating 31 years of God's faithfulness to our church. Amen. To God be the glory. So how should we celebrate this special day at Cadet Baptist Church? First of all, are there any former pastors here? Anybody? Anybody here besides me? Okay. All right, is there any former members here? Yes, besides me. Okay, is there any former charter members besides me? Bill and Sharon, would you stand? I'm going to put you guys on the spot. They have been a blessing to this church. You know what? They are a diamond. And you need to praise God for them. You know, I still consider Brother Bill my deacon. Okay, you guys can sit down. You know, when I came here just to supply. Matter of fact, they were looking at somebody else. But I was a student at Missouri Baptist College at the time and brought Dr. Dale Allen, said, hey, there's a church that you need to go to. I said, oh? He said, yeah, they need someone to supply. I said, oh, okay. So I went, and when I got there and I preached, and I thought, well, that's it. Well, Brother Bill come to me, and he says, hey, we want you to come next Sunday. We want you to bring a resume. And I said, oh, okay. So I did. Well, to my surprise, Brother Bill took me around, showed me around a little bit. He took me to Bates Creek. And the first thing he told me, he says, you know, if God calls you here as pastor, I want you to know my job as a deacon is to make you look good. Man, I have a fellow. Because I had been in some real stinker churches where deacons were preacher eaters. And I said, oh, where have you been all my life? You know. Well, unbeknownst to me, like I said, that they were looking at another man. But they called me. And after three cars, driving back and forth from St. Louis, and having four kids loaded up, which were itty-bitty kids, 2 years apart, and having been here 3.5 years, what a blessing it was here. One of the things I used to tell Bill is, you know what, Brother Bill? If Mickey Mouse was your pastor, you'd make him look good. And he's, you know what he said to me? He says, well, I thought he was. And you know what? I think you would make Mickey Mouse look good, Brother Bill. You know, we need to remember that God has blessed us in so many ways here. You know, I suggest that we do some things that Paul talks about in this text. Let me read this again, okay? Starting with verse 12. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. As we look at some things this morning, I'm going to share with you three things. Number one, we should take an evaluation. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I do not consider myself to have apprehended it. Often companies will call people in to do an evaluation, right? Of their performance as an employee. One man who was evaluated came out with this evaluation, and you know what? It wasn't good. Since my last report, this employee has reached rock bottom and has started to dig. This associate is not so much of a has-been, but he definitely won't be. And when he opens his mouth, it seems that the only thing he changes is the foot that was previously there. This employee is depriving a village of its idiot. Evaluations can be good or they can be bad, right? Most of the time they're bad, but you know, sometimes we have good ones. But here at Cadet Baptist Church, for the last 31 years, we trust that it will be a good evaluation. Amen? We hope that in the sight of God, for these 31 years, we as a church have aged well in the sight of God, right? I hope we have. A lot of folks have said some nice things about this church, and for that, we're thankful. And as I've said before, I brag on you wherever I go. And you know what? You are a great church. You are. And you should take pride in that. You know, I want to ask you this question. When you're laying in your casket and people walk by, what would you like for them to say? Anybody? What would you like for them to say? I'm sorry? That's right. You were faithful to Jesus. Yes, I would like that, to hear that too. A comedian said this. As he said, that's easy. I would like them to look at me in my casket and hope they say, look, he's moving. And as the Lord looks at this church, I hope the Lord would say to this church of 31 years of age, we look pretty good. And guess what? We're moving. You know, that's one thing here. We're not a dead church. And unfortunately, I've been in a lot of dead churches. There was a church that I knew that just celebrated 40 years. Unfortunately, a lot of churches are like that. But you know, as we look back over the past 31 years, we cannot help but to look at the wonderful people who have served so faithfully down through the years. Many of these have gone to be with the Lord. We also look at the spiritual victories that have been won here at these altars. Amen. We look at the many successful marriages that have been made here, and also the marriages that have been saved here. Praise God. We look at those who have come to know Christ as their Savior here. Amen? That's a joy. We look at the bad habits that have been broken by the power of Jesus Christ. And that lives have been turned from a tavern to a tabernacle. That's a blessing to see that, isn't it? We look at the many that have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. We also look at the sacrifice of those Christians in the early days of our church. As we look back over these 31 years, we can only say this: to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Amen? Amen? You know, one of the many things I say about this church, and I often do, is this church has some of the greatest Christians that you'll ever find. And the most friendliest. You know, I really say that. And as we look back, we have to admit, here at Cadet Baptist Church, you know, we look pretty good for our age. And again, it's all because of the glory of God, right? You know, I remember when I looked back at my 31 years, and I look back now, I say, you know what? I looked pretty good when I was 31. Now I wish I was 31 again. But as we look at all that God has accomplished, we have to recognize that we, like Paul, have not yet arrived. There is still room for improvement, is there not? Notice in this scripture a passage that I read to you, verse 12. Paul says that he's not arrived. To me, that's an amazing statement. Paul is an old man by now, If anybody had the right to claim he had arrived, it would have been Paul, would it not? He had been stoned, and I don't mean drunk. He had been left for dead numerous times, had he not? And he had made an incredible impact on this world, and he still does he not? Yet Paul, at the end of his life, says, I haven't arrived yet. Paul could have taken pride in what he had already accomplished, but instead he takes stock of himself and he says, God is not through with me yet. I think it's important for us as a church to remember that on this 31st anniversary, that we have been so blessed as a church. And in this last 31 years, we still have a long way to go. God is not done with us yet. And he still wants us to grow, not only in numbers, but spiritually. And that's the most important thing. And you know, that was one of my prayers here. I pray not just for numbers, but for quality. You know, when I was here, we had night service. And whatever our morning service was, our night service was half of whatever our morning service was. Now, you know what? That's a miracle right there. Now, I talked to one church that they were running 300 people, and he said, man, I wish we could do that. He said, you know how many we have on our night service? And they were running 300. He says, we have 30. I said, that's sad. That's sad. And most of the people, when you hear about night service, that's usually what happened. You have the most committed people on night service, do you not, Brother John? We have been so blessed here. Evaluation is a big part of this celebration. You know, I asked somebody to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 28. Would you read that for me, please? Amen. Did you get that? It's not what we do, but the scripture there says, who does the will of my Father. And that's what's going to keep this church going. We need to realize who is the rock here. It's Jesus Christ. And we need to constantly be doing the will of the Father, not only in our lives, but in this church's life. We need to put him first. Our prayer should be what Jesus prayed when he was at the garden. He said, what? Not my will, but what? Thy will be done. That's where we need to take stock every day. Now, second of all, not only is this a time of evaluation, but it's also a time of elimination. Look at verse 13 again. Paul also says, forgetting those things which are behind. How often we look back and we see the progress that has been made in the world that we live in. Just think about all the changes that have been taking place in our lifetime. We've went to the moon. Wow, do you know that's been 50 years ago? Wow, I can't believe that. That's a shocker. Now we're talking about going back. But did you know that the computer that they used back in 1969, when they powered the Eagle, was basically the cheapest that was available. And did you also know that the computer that they used was 8 foot high, 3 foot deep, and 8 feet long that they had at NASA? It contained 2,000 vacuum tubes, 70,000 resistors, 10,000 capacitors, and approximately 5 million hand-soldered joints, and it weighed 30 tons. Compared to today, our computers are what? Small, aren't they? And you know, they only had maybe 5 gigawatts back then in that big monster of a computer. Wow. We've come a long way, baby, haven't we? And you know what? Many of you have some of these computers lying around, don't you? The world we live in has made many changes. Many good, but unfortunately, some bad. And this church and many in which we worship our Lord each week, we can look back and see many changes that have taken place. Bill and Sharon, praise God, there's no more outhouses. And we learned how to use the word way many, many ways. Also, my wife, when she was teaching preschoolers, you know how many she had in that little room? Sharon, you remember that, don't you? How many she had in that little room? She had about 20. In that little bitty room. And we had one room. Here's a funny story you'll like. I was preaching one Sunday, and my boys, when we were coming down here, saw turtles. And at that time, Teenage Mutant Turtles were big. And so we had to pick up turtles. So we had a box full of turtles. So we had them back in the corner, and I'm preaching away and everything, and our song leader, who at that time was the bank president, okay? Well, I'm preaching away. And I'm giving an invitation. And what happened? What do I see? Well, I see a turtle walking the aisle. And I said, oh, if I could just time this right, this turtle will be right here during invitation. You know? And so the bank president there was sitting there, and oh, his eyes got a big, this big, and he went, ooh, you know, so he just slips out and he grabs that turtle. I'm like, darn, you know? So after the service, I said, you know what? We did have one person come forward. And they said, really? Who was it? I said, Brother Bill, or what was his name?
Dale,
thank you. Brother Dale took him back and counseled with him, and they found out he was hard shell. These are some of the memories that I have. And there's many, many more. Oh, I could tell you many stories. You know, we have spent time this morning. Oh, one of the stories, and oh, I can't let this go. Brother Bill and I used to go on visitation. And you know what we usually had? You'll love this. We took a Yugo. And that Yugo was mainly a no-go. We had to pray over that thing wherever we went. Potholes that were bigger than this Yugo. And I can remember one time we went, and Brother John, you better watch Bill. He'll get you, okay? You got to watch him. Every time we went to a home, we would take turns. And one time I would share, and Bill would pray, and another time would be vice versa. Well, we come to this one home, knocked on the door, and this guy come out with a shotgun, okay? And Brother Bill goes, I'm praying. I looked at him, I said, I can't believe this. You know, the guy come out, and I'm going, you know. And he says, "You guys aren't Jehovah's Witnesses, are you?" I said, "Nope, we're not Jehovah's Witnesses." Well, we got found out that this man was also a member of the Baptist church. We sat down and visited with him. He says, "I'm just so thankful." We get back in the car. I said, "Really, Brother Bill, really?" So, these are the fun things. You know, we have spent time here this morning remembering. And I know your pastor has shared. Is there anybody else that has any fond memories? Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. There are so many fond memories here. And you know, it's important that we learn from our past. But you know what? We can't live there anymore. Many churches will assemble together and build a new building, and they will work and sacrifice. Then one day they'll move into that church building, and you know what happens? Everything comes to a halt. Why is that, do you think? Because they are still living in the past. Have you ever noticed that many of us that are old talk about the past? That is, we hear them talk about things that took place 50 years ago. Why do you think that happens? Brother Bill, probably because you're living in the past, right? No. I like picking on Bill, but you know what? That is, they have quit living. They are living in the past. For many people, the past compels us. The present confuses us, and the future scares us. Many of them drive through life, no longer looking through the front window, but through the rear view mirror. They have put the past behind us because it's behind us, amen? That's what we need to realize. You know, there's two things I want to touch on real fast. Number one, we need to forget our failures. You know, we've all failed, haven't we? How many of here hasn't failed? And Brother Bill, don't you dare regret. You haven't failed?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we failed a lot. But you know what? I'll give you a clue. Even churches have failed. What'd you say, Brother Ray? Even churches have failed. Illustration. There was a church that made a big mistake. They hired a woman to take care of their nursery. This lady they hired seemed to be a good idea. She appeared to be a nice lady, and they thought she would be good for the kids. However, one day, one of the church members went to the pastor and says, "Pastor, you need to come to the nursery." And he did. And when he arrived, he saw this lady that the church had hired was drunk as a skunk. Not just a little drunk, she was wobbly drunk. She did not need to take care of any babies. She needed someone to take care of her. You know, they said, "You know, we should have checked her out more thoroughly. We hired her when she was sober, and we thought we made a good decision. She looked good, but we didn't. We made the mistake because we didn't look closer into her." And you know, that's sad, isn't it? You know, one afternoon, a man was driving down the highway to visit a nearby lake. And he thought he'd take, a picnic lunch. And as he was driving, a guy dressed from head to toe in red, standing in the side of the highway, gestured for him to stop. And the man said, "Okay, I'll stop and see what this guy wants." He says, "How can I help you?" The man says, "I'm the red jerk in the highway. You got something for me to eat?" And with a smile, the other man said, sure, I'll give you a sandwich. Not even 5 minutes later, he came across another guy. This guy is dressed in yellow, standing on the side of the road and waving his arms at this guy to stop. This man, being a little agitated, said, okay, I'll stop. And he rolled down the window and he says, okay, what do you want? He says, I'm the yellow jerk of the highway. I want something to drink. Hardly managing a smile, the man says, okay, I'll give you a Coke. So finally, he gets very angry, and he stomps on the gas, and he goes flying down the road. He goes, I've got to get there before dark, or I'm going to waste my time. Finally, he sees a man dressed in blue, and this man motions for him. He goes, all right, so he pulls over, and he rolls down the window angrily, and he says, all right, let me guess, you're the man in blue, right? What do you want? And the man in blue says, I'd like to see your driver's license and registration, please. We all have made mistakes, have we not? All of us. Not only as individuals, but as churches. Hopefully, we've learned from them and move on. But you know, I had a guy tell me this. You know what? If you don't learn from your mistakes, life is like a boot camp. And if you don't learn, you get to repeat it over and over and over and over and over again until finally it gets through. And you know what? I think that's true. The problem with a lot of folks is that they can't see the wrong. They can see the wrong of others, but they can't see the wrong in their own lives. Boy, sounds familiar, doesn't it? You know, there was a senior citizen who was driving down the road, and he heard his wife saying, she called him and says, Herman, I just heard on the news that there's a car going the wrong way on Highway 401. Please be careful. And he replied, it's not just one car, it's hundreds of them. He was going the wrong way. You know, we all make mistakes. And as a church. But some folks, you just can't help. But others, you can't help them at all, can you? Some you can and some you can't. Brother John, have you ever tried to counsel with someone and you knew what they needed to do? But everything you suggested they should do, they would say, that won't work for me. I've tried it and it won't work. You suggest something else and that would help them, and they respond, that won't work for me. People like this build their life around failure. They are self-perpetual prophecy, aren't they? Because they live in failure and they don't see anything. But you know what? I know someone that can answer their problems, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen? But did you know we can talk? There's some churches that are the same way. We've never done this before. Right? Oh, I cringe when I hear that. Or we've tried that and it doesn't work. Well, you know what? Maybe it's because you're doing it the same way, but you're expecting different things to happen. Maybe you should try a new method. You know, here at this church, I know we don't reach people like we used to. Our method should never change. But our message should never change, right? Our message should change, but our message should never change, right? And that message is what? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Thomas Edison had many inventions, didn't he? Do you know he held over 1,000 patents? But of all of them, you know, he said this, I've learned one thing. Of the many times that I have won, I have failed that many times. And you know what? Satan's favorite desire to paralyze you and to paralyze churches is this. Guess what? Don't worry, you'll fail. But you know what? I fail too. But praise God, he's picked me back up. And praise God, he said, Ray, I'm going to put you back on the straight and narrow. And Ray, I'm going to use you. And you know what? He can do the same thing. Now, finally, let us look at what Paul, the last thing. We've looked at evaluation. We've looked at elimination. Now we're going to look at determination. Look at verse 13 again. And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ, or pardon me, of God in Jesus Christ. Notice the word press on is the Greek word diokos, which means to run swiftly. Also, it is the same word as persecution. It also means to press on. That is, before Paul come to know the Lord as his personal Savior, Paul would persecute the church, right? Chasing after them with all his might. But Paul is chasing now after who? Jesus Christ. And friends, that's who we should be chasing after. The intensity was the same, but the direction was different. Wouldn't it be great that we would serve the Lord with the same fervor that we once served the devil? Paul was a dedicated servant of the devil, right, before he got saved? But after he received Christ, he became a dedicated servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look to the future, I pray that we would have the same determination that those who went before us. We need to have the same daring faith that this congregation had when we bought this land and built the building. We need the same determination we had in 1992 when we became a church. We need to be willing to reach people for Jesus Christ. And remember, that's our number one goal. In closing, I want to share this. On November 22nd, 1963, does anybody know what happened that day? Help me out. What happened that day? John Kennedy was shot, right? But that's right. You know, I was only in second grade, and I remember that like it was yesterday. But here's something I bet. Brother John, you may know this. Brother Bill, you may know this. But did you know that there was another person that died that day? John, do you know who it was? C.S. Lewis. That's exactly right. That's right. As the world mourned the death of John F. Kennedy, heaven celebrated the homecoming of a child of God. The great strength of his writing is in connecting spiritual ideas to everyday experience. Think about that. Living a life of connecting spiritual ideas to everyday experience. As we close this celebration and homecoming service, I want to make something clear. We can talk much about what this church has done, and I know the Lord appreciates everything we've accomplished in our 31 years. But the fact is, God gets all the glory. Because if it wasn't for him, this church would not be here. Period. The Lord said, I will build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what did he mean by that? He meant that you and I can build a building. You and I can use our talents to be a blessing to others, but we cannot build a church. That is why the Lord said, I will build my church. As we draw, we can draw a crowd, right? So what? So can Ringley Brothers. So can a lot of people. But God, who works in the hearts of men, when God's word is preached, he builds his church. He takes men and women and changes them where they once thought life was all about making money. And he changes them into coming to know that it's all about coming to know him. He takes men and women and changes them where they once thought life was about sports and entertainment, and changes them into coming to know it's all about coming to know him. He changes teenagers and children who see their classmates going into the wrong direction and changes them into going to the right direction. This is what is mean when he says, I will build my church. You know, that's something none of us can do. Only he can do it. And when he said, I will build my church, that is what he is talking about, right? And the only way you and I can change is when we put the past behind us. I asked somebody to read 1 John 1:9. Would you read that for me, please?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all
unrighteousness. Amen. All unrighteousness. Did you get that? Past, present, and future. And only he can do that. Not we. He's not coming back to build a building. He's coming back for believers who are his church. Praise God. We celebrate 31 years as a church today. But what we really are celebrating is the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. And to him and him alone is the glory and honor. Friends, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? It can be another blessing to you. And Christian, are you serving him? If you are, praise God. But you know what? Maybe you need to come this morning and take a real evaluation of your life. And if you do, then this altar is open to you. You know, this church is still here for you. This pastor is still here for you. And God's people are still here for you. And most of all, God is still here for you. To his glory and to his honor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, that we're not what we were, and we're not what we could be, but praise God, we can be all that we can be, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this church is celebrating 31 years, and may it continue to serve another 31 years. For your glory and for your honor. This I ask it in the precious and sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Brother John.
Well, stand, please.